Amen. As Brother Thomas is making his way to the front, I just want to say, I don't know what the Lord's put on these brethren's hearts as far as preaching, but we know that after lunch, we're going to be observing our communion service. And so I trust that whatever they preach this morning is going to embrace the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We always need to bear that thankfulness in our hearts, especially when we get close to the time that we would approach that table and partake of those emblems and honor him in that ordinance of the church that says, as oft as ye do this, this do in remembrance of me. And you know, the old devil loves to discourage God's people. I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say, well, I'm not worthy. Well, you know what? You're exactly right. You're not. But that's not who we're remembering when we approach that table. We are thanking the Lord Jesus Christ for being absolutely obedient to the will of his Father and coming to this world and shedding his precious blood to redeem us, because when he's done that for us, then he has made us worthy to be partakers. So pray for these brethren, but all the while in the back of your mind, keep that in mind, that we're going to approach that table this afternoon in reverence to what he's done for us. Elder Thomas Bunn.
Lord bless you, brother.
Certainly thankful to be here with you this morning, and thankful to have this opportunity to worship with you, and enjoyed the meeting this weekend, and enjoyed the blessing of hearing these brethren that I count them as dear friends, and for the Lord's sake. And you know, preachers, well, I mean, qualify that. This preacher likes to be preached to. I enjoy preaching, especially, of course, when the Lord blesses. But I like to be preached to, and I believe the Lord's blessed me to be preached to this weekend. And appreciate the messages and the fellowship of the gospel. You know, the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a mysterious thing. It's all about knowledge and then some. And with that in mind, I'd like to turn to John chapter 5 and verse 39. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus Christ says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me." I hope that of all the people that you came here today to see, that you came to see Jesus. Amen. Over in John chapter 12, I believe it is, there were certain Greeks, John tells us, that were in the city, and they were looking for somebody. And God blessed them, I believe, to encounter, I believe it was Philip. And they said to him, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Well, Philip did what any good preacher should do. He took them to Jesus. And that's what the preaching of God's word should do, whatever our subject matter is, whatever text we begin with. I firmly believe that every verse, every word, all the inspiration of the scripture, its primary purpose is to point us to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
He's the one that we're here to see. After all, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our husband. We're the bride of Christ, and he is our husband. And many times in the scriptures, we find many examples of where the bride's greatest desire was to see her husband. And by the way, I'm going to say this. You can throw books at me if you want to. I can still dodge. the greatest desire of any wife ought to be to see her husband. No matter how short a time they've lived together, or no matter how long of a time they've lived together. It's the way God has designed it. And if God's designed it that way, let me tell you something, it's going to work best that way. You know, you can put him second in your life insofar as that relationship's concerned. But if you do, you're asking for trouble. Yes, I know we should look to the Lord first. You know, he's to be our primary focus. But he who is our primary focus teaches wives that they should love their husbands, that they should honor them. And so we should do the same for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why do you read the Bible? Why do you read? Why do you, if you're faithful to do a daily Bible reading, why do you do that? That's what Jesus Christ says here. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. Now he's talking to people that thought that in the Scriptures, by reading the Scriptures or studying the Scriptures, that they could get eternal life. But Jesus Christ says, they're they which testify of me. What's he telling them? The Scriptures tell us about eternal life, and it tells us how to get it, but not the way that you think. You know, you think, or they thought, that if they studied the Scriptures, and if they got smart enough, and if they obeyed God enough, if they paid enough tithes, if they offered enough sacrifices, etc., that they could get eternal life. Of course, the Bible teaches that if you do all those things, and if you do them as God directs that they ought to be done, well, that's just evidence that you have eternal life, not that you're going to get it. You know, once a person wants to live, they're already living. You know, you don't live in order to have life. You live because you have life. You're already in possession of it. Whether it's natural life or spiritual life, or I guess any other kind of life. So, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. But what I want to talk about this morning is that which the Scriptures talk to us about. And one of the ways that the Scriptures talk to us about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and reminds us, and this is important, is that as much as we're told about Jesus Christ, as much information as there is available there, the Bible still calls it a mystery. It's still a mystery. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul, in his writing to that church, let me get turned to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now keep that verse of Scripture in mind. Let's back up just a little bit. In verse 1, Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Paul says, when I preached to the church at Corinth, and to the church at Corinth, he says, when I preached to you, what I preached unto you was not a figment of my imagination. It was not a doctrine. It was not a story. It was not stuff that I made up, that I thought up on my own. He said, rather, it's things that are the testimony of God. Things that God had testified to Paul. Things that Paul said that God had testified in the Old Testament Scripture. Things that Paul said that God had testified in the way that they worshiped in the Old Testament, etc. And he says, you know, that's what I come to declare unto you, the testimony of God, not the testimony of Paul. For I determined not to know anything among you save what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul goes on to say, he says, I was with you in fear and in weakness. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Now Paul says, you know, God blessed me mightily to preach to you, to teach you, and to tell you some things. But he says, what was I doing? I was simply relating to you the mystery of God. Don't you just love mysteries? Well, don't you just love most mysteries? Some mysteries can get a little scary. In fact, some mysteries are just downright ungodly. But in the strictest sense of the term, I believe most all of us do love mysteries. And mysteries can be complex. I mean, they can be far-fetched. Or they can be very simple, like it's a mystery where I left my phone this morning. I mean, I had it, but when I got to church, I didn't have it. And it's a mystery where it's at. It can be that simple, or it can be greater than that. And so it is with God's Word. God's Word, the things of God, they can be the hidden wisdom of God, or they can be things that we know. There are things about God, of course, and God's Word blesses us to know things about Him. And it's not just the things that we don't know about Him that are a mystery, but it's the things about Him that we know that are a mystery. Like, for example, the Bible teaches me that God is love. Now, as much as I know about love, it's still a mystery. You know. And as much as I know about God, to understand that God is love, and not just that he loves, but the Bible doesn't say just that God loves. The Bible says that God is love. Well, all that's a mystery. But the greatest mystery to me is that how He could love me, even though He's God. How could He do that? In fact, many times I think about it this way: God, if you're love, then that should cancel out me, period, because I'm unlovable. And in fact, the Bible tells me that I am. But in all of that, it's a mystery that God says He loves me. But the best part about mysteries is when they are revealed to us. It's when we're able to understand or to know, yes, it's a mystery, but we can see it. We can recognize at least that it's there. You know, gravity is a mystery. I mean, how can something that you can't see, you can't touch, you can't taste, you can't feel, you can't hear, you can't eat it, you can't drink it, have such an impact on my life? And the older I get, the greater impact it seems to be having. It's harder to get up off of the floor than it used to be. And not just because I failed. I got down there voluntarily to do something. And that's getting even harder. But it's, and as much as we know about it, it's still a mystery. And so Paul, the Apostle Paul continues, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of God, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The mystery of the scriptures is the Lord Jesus Christ. The great mystery the mystery of the gospel is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the mystery of godliness. He's the mystery which has been hid from the ages. He's the greatest mystery of the world. God manifest in the flesh. Brethren, that's a mystery. How that God could become flesh. And for God to become flesh the way that God became flesh. Don't you know that, if I'm wrong, these brethren can correct me. You know, don't you know that God has the power and the ability that he could have just became a man? He could have just said, okay, I'm going to earth today. And he could have just walked out of heaven right onto the earth. But that wasn't the way he chose to come. He chose to come in one of the mysteries of this world. And that is how that life begins, how that life takes place in a woman's womb. It's one of the great mysteries of life. And as much as we know about it, as much as we understand about it, there's that much and more that we don't know and don't understand about it. And it's really sad, of course, that as much as we know about it, that we have an element of people in this world that mistreat it the way that they do. And of course, I'm talking about abortion. You know, if these people that have studied that and they know so much about it, etc., if they could just see what it really is, I think we'd put an end to that. And abortion within itself is a mystery. How in the world a person would want to take innocent life is beyond me. But we're here today we could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and go through all of that again and think about the purpose of the gospel is to make known unto us this mystery. To inform us, first of all, that there is a mystery. And then to begin to tell us, line upon line, precept upon precept, this is what this mystery looks like. And ultimately to say, you want to understand eternal life? You want to understand predestination? You want to understand the grace of God? You want to know more about the mercy of God? What about the covenants of God? What about service to God? Well, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul says, I have no great, my greatest desire is to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. All of life, all the reason that we live, all the reason that we hope to live forever is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And again, our greatest mystery, how that he could come into this world and do what he did and accomplish it and go back to heaven. May the Lord bless us to look at God's word, read it as a mystery. I think that'd be better than reading it as a novel, personally. You know, Jesus Christ said, search the scriptures, for in them. And search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. If you want to know about the mystery of godliness, if you want to know about anything, go to the source. search the scripture. Don't just, in reading it, got to read it to know it. Study it to stow it. And live it to show it. May the Lord add his blessings. This is my prayer.
Amen.